Hello, I'm Brandon. And I'm still Brandon. This is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a video game journalist and just a video game journalist talk about video games. You may notice a lack of Justine in this episode. This is because she was unavailable to make the recording. And we have deadlines, so I got to it myself, and we're going to do a different game. Not Jade Empire, I know. I'm sorry for the four people, probably, who are really excited to hear about Jade Empire. You'll have to wait another week. We'll get to it, I promise, soon. Anyway, we're going to be talking about Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy. Now, this game, I have a lot of things to say about it. It's not as popular as it was when it launched. It got very popular for a small period of time. And even though time has passed, it still remains with me in my mind. And I want to talk about it. So that's what we're going to do today. But before that, let's get into some news. First bit of news, the most unfortunate one. Total Biscuit, gaming personality, has passed away last Friday. He had passed away due to cancer, one that he has been in a year, I think it's like a four-year-long battle with. Our sympathies go out to his friends, his family, the co-optional podcast, he made a lot of content. He's a very well-known, very well-loved man. We wish everyone the best and our condolences. Next bit of news is Grand Theft Auto in Bloodborne in Dark Souls. Because that makes sense. When Dark Souls Remastered released last week, the modding community started digging through the project files, and they found these game maps that were kind of like throwaway maps, not actually built into the game, but they existed in the game's files. And they were interesting. They were enlightening. Somebody had found the Upper Cathedral Ward of Bloodborne as a 3D map model. Now, this is very interesting because the remaster team didn't put this in there. This was in here back with the original game, as it turns out. However, Bloodborne didn't come out until a good 4-something years after Dark Souls. So that means that they've been working on Bloodborne way back to at the release of the first Dark Souls, which is an impressive thought. What's Grand Theft Auto have to do to this? Let me tell you. This modder later on took this Cathedral Ward map, exported it, changed the formatting, and then exported it again into a Grand Theft Auto map, where they then drove around the Upper Cathedral Ward as Trevor from Grand Theft Auto 5. There's a video out there. It's interesting. You'll have to check our news post about it for more. Last bit of news is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds has sued Fortnite. I shouldn't say has sued, is suing. You see, the Korean-based company Bluehole, PUBG Corp, they handle all that. They have recently filed a trademark dispute against Epic Games Korea for the similarities between PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Fortnite Battle Royale. This is very interesting. This is something that PUBG has kind of threatened for a long time now. And they have on the record saying that it's unfortunate that Epic Games. It is unfortunate that Epic Games would do something like this since they are partners with Bluehole, the subsidiary owner of PUBG Corp, which made PUBG. But apparently action has actually been taken now with the Korean justice system. There's a name in there I can't recall. Whether or not this will actually grow to fruition, whether or not they have a foot to stand on, is up for debate and unconfirmed at this time, but that is something that has happened. Enough about the news. I want to talk about Getting Over It. For those of you who don't know, Getting Over It is a game where you play as a man whose upper half is a human, and his lower half is a cauldron. His body's sticking out of a cauldron. He uses a sledgehammer to move himself around the environment. The sledgehammer tracks based on your mouse. So you move your mouse around to kind of drag yourself along. And the problem is that this is a difficult game. It's very difficult to control. The goal is to get to the top of the mountain. While you're doing all this, the creator and narrator of this game, Bennett Foddy, is talking to you, telling you quotes, coming up with poetic rhymes, sometimes just playing yodeling music in the background. But it ends up being this long dialogue about what it means to be this game, why this game was made the way it was, what is B-Games, the inspiration behind this, the current state of consumerism in the world based around video games, and how you're supposed to fail at this a lot, and how you're not supposed to stop either, though. You need to be angry, you need to quit, but you need to come back as well. And that's the entire premise of this game, and there's even an ending that I can't tell you about, but I'll tell you why I can't tell you about it later. One thing at a time. So, the game starts, Bennett Foddy's talking, and he tells you about how a lot of the inspiration behind this came from a game called Sexy Hiking, where of a similar nature, you're this man, and you move around a hammer controlled by your mouse, and your goal is to climb over this tree. But this tree is very difficult to get over, and it was very frustrating. And it was developed by a man called Jazuo, maybe female, I don't know, who was commonly known as the father of B-games. B-games, like B-movies, B-articles, I guess, those are a thing. Just that step down of quality of a game. And how B-games kind of became their own kind of art because of how they were differently created, differently conceived and developed, and what their intentions behind these games are supposed to be. And this is kind of a spiritual successor to that, and in the fact that you even start climbing a tree in the beginning. There's a few things about this. I've got 3 pages of notes here. That's how excited I was to talk about this game. I want to actually start with, I'm going to quote some of the things that Bennett Foddy says to you in the beginning of your game. And here it is. And it sets up a good tone for what this game is supposed to be. So, there is no feeling more intense than starting over. If you deleted your homework the day before it was due, as I have, or if you left your wallet at home and you have to go back after spending an hour in the commute, if you won some money at the casino and then put all your winnings on red and it came up black, if you got your best shirt dry cleaned before a wedding and then immediately dropped food on it, if you won an argument with a friend and then later discovered that they returned to their original view, starting over is harder than starting up. If you're not ready for that, like you've already had a bad day, then what you're about to go through might be too much. Feel free to go away and come back. I'll be here. So at the very beginning, Mr. Foddy is establishing this game is going to upset you. It's going to frustrate you. If you're not emotionally prepared to handle this, go away. It's fine if you just leave. Because he understands that this isn't something that you're going to be happy with in the beginning. Potentially at all. Like, you're going to hate this game a lot more than you're going to enjoy it, because that's what he wants to happen. That's what he wants from this game. And it's true, as you continue, the challenges get difficult, more and more difficult. The risk of absolute failure and resetting increases as you go. There's no safety, there's no comfort that you get to have at any point, because you're always going to be at this massive risk. And I'll get more on the creative side of things, but for a moment I'd like to talk about some interesting tropes about this game. Starting with what was called the Ascended Glitch. This is a common trope. It's where a problem evolves into part of the game. You know, it's not a bug, it's a feature. You see, before the game released on Steam, as it eventually did, somebody had managed to get stuck on the final tower, where they fell back down the tower, except their hammer was on the other side of it. So they were stuck, and they couldn't climb back up, and they'd broken the game for themselves. Well, to move in that direction, later on the game actually added what was called the downer ending, which is kind of like a bad ending, the bad ending, if you manage to do that. So, at the same time, there's another thing, a trope called continuing is painful. And you can't die at this game, with the exception of the lake, but we'll get to that one. It's always a matter of just how you fall. Did you fall really far down? Did you lose a lot of progress? You never die, you only lose progress in this one singular life. However, the lake thing I'm talking about, in the very beginning, if you go left instead of right, you can jump into a lake and drown, quote, drowned, which is the only way to, technically speaking, die, but you just start back in the beginning anyway, so it doesn't make any actual difference. And like that, like, just how you cannot die, there's no checkpoints. You get so far, and if you mess up, you have to accept that mess up and continue from where you landed. You can go from the very end of the game to the very beginning on accident, just with a slip of the wrist, and there's no thing letting you jump back to halfway through. That's something you have to live with. It's checkpoint starvation. And another, a neat little tidbit here, the Diogenes? I don't know how to pronounce it. It's D-I-O-G-E-N-E-S. This is the name of the player character, the man in the cauldron, which happens to be a story. It's like he was the greatest troll of all time, I think, with something like of that nature. And this game is kind of saying you, the player character, your character, you are this troll. The troll, the anger, the instigation that you're going to feel is from yourself, not the world, but from your actions and your behavior are going to be what causes you to get so angry, as a troll would want you to do. It also has a nice thing called a noob bridge, which a noob bridge is technically speaking a way to kind of weed out the people who are actually trying to play this game. For example, there is a house in the relative beginning of the game, just past the pit that you start in. And it is more or less the first obstacle that you cannot get past purely by flailing around. Everything else, yeah, if you flail, you can probably just accidentally come across the solution and proceed. But if you hit this house, you can't do that. You need to actually tactically figure out how do you want to ascend this house. And that's the noob bridge of this game, because now you need to learn how to play the game instead of just being dumb, so to speak. It's a very well mechanicalized, very well designed game. It's very intelligent in its intention. It feels bad, but they wanted it to make it feel bad on purpose because they wanted all of these things to happen to you. And when you're not yelling at your monitor, you're actually listening to Bennett Foddy himself kind of narrate you through this entire game, either talking to you about why he designed something the way he did, or what his mindset was through this game. And eventually it actually evolves to the point where it becomes very poetic, very artistic. And he starts to actually literally rhyme. He starts reciting poetry at you. Or he'll start quoting others in ways that relate to the game, like most of which are either understanding the pain of failure or the perseverance of, you know, continuing, the strength to continue to carry on. And like when you'd fail, he'd come up with this, and the entire overall kind of arcing idea is that games are getting too easy and people are getting too accustomed to this easiness, and that it's a shame. He at one point he says, you're probably not even playing this, you're just watching someone on YouTube or Twitch with a million viewers just doing this for you, so you get all the satisfaction of this progression without the actual pain of rage and anger of the failure that comes with this game. And it's funny. And even in the end, it has a secret ending where once you've gotten to the end, the game is going to say, hey, stop recording, stop live streaming, they don't get to see this. You, the person who got there, you get to see this. You get to know what's next because you've earned it. You've put in all of this frustration. You put in all this anger, this dedication, this commitment to this game, to something that you should have quit a long time ago. You've earned this ending. No one else should get to know what this ending is. And that's why I'm sure there are actually videos out there. But the funny thing is, people who have posted this, people have been getting banned for revealing what's at the end of things, at the end of this, because that's how big of a deal it is to Bennett Foddy of, you need to earn the ending. I can't even tell you what it is, because I've personally not done it. I've not beaten this game yet. It's difficult. I'll try, I'll get frustrated and leave it for a while, but I keep coming back because it keeps being on my mind, because it's so genius. It makes you earn it. It's, in my mind, the best reward any video game has given a person, in that they get the pure satisfaction of knowing, yes, they did it. Not only do you get to have something nobody else, or I shouldn't say no one else, something that millions of people have tried and failed at getting, but You've earned it through your own grit and determination when it was very clearly designed for you to have a hard time doing exactly that. It is incredible, and it's not something I've really seen, because almost everything else has ways to help you. Dark Souls, for example, one that are commonly referred to as one of the hardest video games around, which I still think is a bit baloney, but that's not the point. Even that, you can level up, you can get stronger, you can summon friends to help you. There are ways to make that game easier for you, ways for you to cakewalk through it if you really wanted to. But this game doesn't have that. No one can help you. No one can. You can't cheat. You can't glitch your way through. The game has an autosave every moment you make. If you mess up, you can't quickly, you know, close the game out hoping it saved your progress up top. It will remember that you fell, and it will record that, and it'll start you out exactly where you stopped. There's no actual escaping. There's no way of trying to cheat your way and glitch through. I mean, I'm sure there might actually be, but that's not the point, is that if you cheated, then you don't really deserve that ending that he wanted for you. This game is like that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Before I get ahead of myself any further, Talk Souls, this might end up being a shorter episode just because I'm blasting through all of these things that I'm just getting excited about. I want to cop into my ad break. I don't actually have a clever ad break for you. This game has been very, this game doesn't really leave a lot for, like, coming up with a clever, creative ad break type segment because it's so bare bones in its nature. All it is a guy narrating to you while you're in a cauldron. So I'm just going to say, hey, for this ad, get this game. Give it a shot. Try it for yourself. It's on Steam. It might be on the Humble Store. I don't know. If it is, I mean, I'll link it in the show notes regardless of where it's at. So go check it out. See what it is. Get angry about it and then don't play it ever again like millions of others have. I haven't even beaten it, so like I'm not even able to judge others for it. But yeah, that'll be my ad break, my lazy ad break. And now that we're back from that, I wanted to read a few things here for you guys. Quotes. Two lines here are something Bennett Foddy said himself in the game when he's narrating to you, talking about the nature of video games. The rest are actually quotes that he quoted. Whenever you would fail, you'd fall really far down. He normally likes to say something. And sometimes it'll be just a quip from him, like, ooh, that's rough, but keep going. Sometimes he'll quote an actual person, like Andrei Tarkovsky, C.S. Lewis, Abraham Lincoln even. That one's my favorite. I'll tell you in a second. But there are two particular lines that Bennett Foddy said in this game that absolutely stuck with me, not only because their message is perfectly portrayed, but because they're just incredibly well written, very cleverly rhymed, because yeah, they rhyme, they're poetic in that sense. And there are two lines, the first line being why make something demanding if it just gets piled up in the landfill, filled in with the bland things? It's beautiful, like the rhyming on that is so on key. Demanding, landfill, that's a near rhyme. Filed in rhymes with piled up, and the bland things goes with demanding and landfill, because it has those sounds in them. It's clever, it's genius. But it's talking about, like, why make a game hard when it's going to disappear in a quick enough time? It'll get tossed in with everything that else that bores people. People want that stimulation. They want to be excited for the entire time, and when it stops exciting them, they're going to give up. They're going to throw it away. They're going to get... It'll be filed in with the bland things. It'll be, you know, piled up in the landfill. Because these games are demanding. It's saying that games are becoming easier and easier because people don't want hard games anymore. They want easy, happy-feeling games. They want good times, good vibes. They want the satisfaction of progress without the commitment. Before, games were hard. Before, they were difficult. They demanded a lot from you, and people don't want that anymore. Which leads into the next thing that I want to quote from him. He says this a minute or two after the first quote. This one is, players played stoically. Now everyone's turned off by that. They want to burn through it quickly. A quick fix for the fickle. Some tricks for the clicks of the feckless. But that's not you. You're an acrobat. You could swallow a baseball bat. This, again, the rhyming in it is absolutely amazing. burn through it quickly, a quick fix for the fickle. It really works in the air and the hard k sound. Quick, fix, fickle, quickly. While at the same time, it's, some tricks for the clicks of the feckless. It has three of those hits in that one single line. All of it to say that players don't want the patient, difficult game. They want something that they can churn out, get that euphoric fix out of, and then just move on to the next thing. They want, you know, a quick fix for the fickle, because that's what they are. They're ready to move on to the next thing quickly. They're fickle. But that's not you. You're an acrobat. You could swallow a baseball bat. Now, on the surface, that sounds, well, now you're just saying gibberish. But I really like what it's saying, because acrobatics aren't easy. You can't just be an acrobatic. You can't be an acrobat easily. It takes dedication, it takes time, it takes practice, and it takes very refined control of your own body to be able to do that. You could swallow a baseball bat. You can do something that just sounds ridiculous, sounds almost impossible, but you can do it because you have that dedication, that patience, and that determination to make it happen. Through these core goals, these core mindsets, you're able to progress yourself in ways that others simply cannot. And that's what sets you, the player, out differently from everyone else in society right now, is that you don't want these quick fixes. You don't want to just, you know, get your hit, enjoy it, and then throw it aside as soon as it's boring. You put in the time and the effort and the determination to get this game done, to beat it and get farther with it. And he acknowledges that. He knows, hey, what I'm doing is testing you on all of these things, and I recognize how well you're doing already. This effort that you've started to make into getting past and beating these goals. So he's saying some very profound things in some very cleverly, beautifully written sentences, and the game is absolutely full of this. After a point, you reach an area where it gets kind of postmodern art style, like M.C. Escher-style stairways and whatnot, and then random objects like toilets and convection ovens. And that's where he really starts to get into this rhyming scheme. And just that entire section is just chock full of cleverly rhymed, cleverly written, profound statements that he's telling you, everything that's relating to what's happening right now, the purpose of why you're in this game and why you're doing the things you do, while still being just very smooth, very clean, very understandable. This used to be 5 pages of notes of just things that he said that I wanted to tell you guys, the listeners, about, because I felt like they deserve to be heard. It's kind of funny in that sense, because this whole time he's saying, hey, you the player, you're the one putting in this hard work, this determination, you deserve the recognition for your efforts. And I'm just sitting here thinking, I want to tell more people about him, about this game, about the things he's put in it. Because there's people who are going to stop this game. They're not going to play it anymore far before he says any of these things. And I wish that wasn't the case, because I feel he deserves to have these things heard. He's put a lot of time and effort. I don't think these are something he just came up with on the spot. I think he put a lot of thought into how he wants to say what he's trying to say. And like, he still made this refined product. It's incredibly well-intentioned. Exactly, it's what it wants to be. It's what it's trying to be. It does it so very well. And I want people to understand and know that. I want them to hear the things he has to say, because they're just that good. They get to me. So I actually want to tell you about some of the quotes, the quotes that he quotes of other people as you play, because they also fit really well into this game. And that's another really cool thing by him, is that he's, not only is he saying all of these things that I think are the perfect things to say in this exact situation, but he's found dozens of other people who have said something that can be applied to this exact scenario, because these people who have grown on to become famous, to be put in history books, have figured out the mindset that they needed to achieve their goals and dreams, while they fit, those mindsets happen to fit within what he wants to have portrayed in this game. First one being, I feel your pain, the pain in knowing this has happened to you. The pain in knowing what more tears we have gained, but through all this, I feel your pain. Octavia B. Hawkins Richardson. And I like that. I love it, because It's Bennett Foddy's way of saying, hey, this is painful. Not physically, but like emotionally, mentally. You just fell down and lost probably an hour or two of progress, and that hurts you on the inside, and he understands that that's a painful thing to feel, and that he knows what this pain is. It's in him acknowledging that, and it shows that you're kind of not alone, and I found reassurance in that, and even though I was angry, he understood that I would be angry, and that's kind of his intention, and I can't be mad at him. Because he wanted this to happen. Like, it's one thing for if an internet troll wants to make you mad. He wanted you, Bennett Foddy, wanted you to feel anger and understand this anger. And this is notes of him, so it's I respect him for that aspect. And here's another one, right? If you try to please audiences, uncritically accepting their tastes, it can only mean that you have no respect for them. And that's by Andrei Tarkovsky. This is going back to what I was saying with those really clever rhymes. People want the easy burn through things. If you just kind of make an easy burn through whatever game to make the audience happy, to make your players happy and make a successful game, it shows that you don't really respect your players. By making something that doesn't get to be easy at times, to make something that they have to work for, but will be happier for, will remember better in the end, shows that you have a respect for your players. You not going to treat them like children given a shiny toy and flashing objects. You're going to give them a challenge and hope that they can overcome it. And you don't want them to give up with it either, which the next quote is, of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been, by John Greenleaf Whittier. This is saying, you know, there's nothing more sad than giving up. You can try, you can fail, and that's okay. But it's when you give up, like, officially, you're not going to do this anymore, you quit. That's where it's sad. Because then it shows that you've lost. You've let the failure defeat you, you've let the failure win. And as a result, you yourself have lost because of it. And there's a sadness that comes with that, because when you give up, you don't achieve the great things, you don't achieve the amazing, glorious outcomes that happen when you persevere. You get nothing. And here's a good one. It's patience is the foundation of eternal peace. Make anger your enemy. Harm comes to those who only know victory and do not know defeat. Find fault with yourself and not with others. It is in falling short of your own goals that you will surpass those who exceeded theirs. By Tokugawa Ieyasu. I think that's how that's pronounced. And I love this because it's saying, be patient. Don't make your goal your enemy. Make the anger you feel when you fail your enemy. Make that the thing you want to defeat. If you never know what it's like to lose, you're not going to win, because you can't always win. If you think you're perfect, you don't practice, you don't excel, you don't make yourself any better. You become complacent in your perceived perfection. And that hinders you in the end. Whereas this is saying, hey, acknowledge, find fault with yourself and not with others. Don't think you're better than everyone else. Don't think everyone else is better than you. Think you could be better. Look at yourself, find something that's wrong, and then improve it. This game, it's saying, take that anger that you feel, take the frustration, take your desire to quit, and overcome that. Get over it, so to speak. Haha, game title. And by doing this, you will understand yourself, you'll get yourself better, you'll become better. And then in the future, when you have different challenges you have to overcome, different hardships, you'll look at it and you'll go, I can get over this, I can persevere, I can handle this. Because I've done that. I felt the pain of having to deal with this kind of problem. I felt the pain of losing. So I know that even if I lose, I can handle that, so I need to at least try. And if I try, I can take that, I can learn from it and become better and then do it again. And it'll let you surpass, it'll let you exceed others, because you're putting this effort into something farther than you could have done so before. And it will benefit you in the end. Inversely though, for you to be angry now means that you understood the joy of the past. It keeps you in that perspective, which is this quote here. The pain I feel now is the happiness I had before. That's the deal. Which is, of course, saying you can't always have it happy. You've had your happiness in the past, and now you get to feel, you know, pain. You get to have the ups and the downs, and this is the downs. That's the deal. And it's kind of like that equilibrium. And this is saying, you know, this isn't saying if you're happy now, start dreading the future because you're going to be unhappy. This is saying pain is unavoidable because you can't have a perfect anything. That's the deal. And so it's acceptance. It's understanding that there's bad that's happening and that you can just accept that and then live with it. Don't dwell on this hardship. And that's a really good mindset to have. Going back to what I was saying about it might have been, here's another quote. It's, "This thing we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down." And of course, it's at that thing again where it's, you can try and you can fail and that's okay, but it's when you give up and you don't try again, that's when you fail, your anger, your disappointment, whatever you're feeling, that's when that won. And that's when you lose. You don't lose when you fall, you lose when you give up. This one I like, this quote, because it's very relevant to the game itself. Oh, the last quote by Mary Pickford, by the way. This one is, "Your failure here is a metaphor. To learn for what, please resume climbing." By Robin Dubin? Dubin? I like this, because it's saying, you failed. But if you want to understand why this failure can be profound to you, you have to succeed. You have to go back to climbing again. In the game, it's a literal case of climbing the mountain. And it's another example of the true satisfaction, the true enlightenment, dare I say, can be found when you keep going, when you actually get there, get to the end. And that's when the best feeling will happen. That's when the enlightenment, the knowledge, the understanding, will happen, is after you've kept going. Which leads to my last quote that I've written down here. My favorite one from this game that he's picked out. It's, "You cannot now believe that you will ever feel better. But this is not true. You are sure to be happy again. Knowing this, truly believing it, will make you less miserable now." Abraham Lincoln. This is saying, you feel bad. You're angry. Let's say you just lost a ton of progress. And I'm sure at this point you've gathered a lot of what I'm saying doesn't even have to be applied to this game, but it can be applied to life. And this is a good example of that. Is, you feel bad right now. He understands. You cannot feel better. You cannot believe that you will ever feel better. You're going to think, this is the worst. I hate this. But that's not true. It is not the worst. You will feel better. You are sure to be happy again. And you got to remember that. You have to know, okay, in the future, I'm angry now, but later, I'm going to feel fine. I'm going to feel happy. And knowing that you will feel happy later, regardless, makes now easier. Because now doesn't seem so significant. In the long term, it doesn't feel like the world pressuring down on you. It feels like a moment, a passing moment that'll go away later. And I love that. And all of this is just perfect metaphor for just every hardship in life, every challenge that you make. Do you want to just give up now? Or do you want to continue even though you know you're going to be angry? You know you're going to be frustrated. And I love this because it's such a stay strong type mentality. It's very powerful in my mind the way they do this. The way that it's saying, just keep going at it. And perhaps I'm just getting overexcited because this kind of, I feel this personally. I know that struggle, the fear of trying and failing can be an overwhelming one. The fear, there's times where, like, when I've gone to a job interview for a job that wasn't even that important, and I would just sit in my car a half hour early, I'd just sit there, so stressed out I could just barf. Because what if I fail? What if I go in and they don't want me? What if I mess up, I say the wrong things, and now I've wasted my time, I've wasted my energy, I've wasted my mental power worrying about this job interview? Because if I fail, if I don't get this job, I'm going to feel so horrible. I'm going to feel bad about myself and about my own skills because I messed up. When all of what this game is saying is, yeah, do it anyway. And if you fail, try again. Find another job, enlist, get that interview, do it again. Do it again and again and again. Because when you get it, that's where the happiness will be. And I wish I had known this kind of stuff. I wish I had this knowledge back then, because I wouldn't have felt so bad then, knowing that all it takes is just to try again. And when your focus is on trying again instead of having already messed up, can be, you know, it can change the game, so to speak, on how you approach things. Because there's a lot of things that are difficult. There was a time where my car broke down. It was a very old car, very worn out, and the drive axle broke, and it simply was not fixable, was not drivable. But I had a job. I had rent to pay. I had pets to take care of. And it was overwhelming, honestly, how frightening that whole thing was, because, well, now what do I do? But I didn't let that stop me from trying. Later that day, I drove off of a car lot with a new car. A used car, but that's not the point. Because instead of worrying about how bad my situation, because I didn't have a lot of money either. I used my entire savings, which wasn't that big, to buy that car. But because I focused on, let's make that progress, let's see if we can't get to that next step, I managed to get through that day just fine. No attacks of anxiety or concern or worry or just overall fear. I was fine. I handled it. And it was stressful, sure, but I handled it. And now I've been just minding that self with my writing, my journalism stuff. Making money while writing is not easy to do. To make any money at all is surprisingly difficult in this day and age, because everyone wants quick content. Like this is saying, everyone wants quick daily content. They just want to burn out, hash out, and forget about. While at the same time, they don't want to have to pay for things, because so many things out there are free. And people don't like advertisements because of their intrusive nature. So there's people who have ad blockers and things of that nature, and they'll skip over ad things and podcast episodes. And it makes it hard when you're a content creator, because no one wants to give you money, so to speak. No one wants to pay you to read their stuff. So making money as a writer isn't easy, but here in nearly a year's time, I'm making money doing this. And I need to, because I've started working less at the warehouse. I was so scared about 6 months ago. There was we lost a major client at this day job warehouse that I work at. And as a result, they ended up cutting me from full-time to part-time hours. They cut my hours in half. And I was scared because I wasn't making enough money writing to cover that gap. And at that point, I had already sent out, you know, I had pitched stories to game websites. I had, you know, put in applications for writing jobs with other sites to multiple people, and I've been ignored, you know, again and again and again. And I was getting scared because I didn't know where to look. I needed more work. I needed more writing work, but I couldn't figure out how to get more of it. And it was scaring me, because then I was in this weird point of, well, to metaphorically speak, I'm about to fall back down this mountain. I'm about to enter a situation to where I don't think I'll be able to go back to my stable position. I may have to backtrack. I may have to, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. You know, do I talk to my father, see about perhaps moving back in at home? Do I go for assisted living by the government? I didn't know. But instead of quitting or just whatever because of this overwhelming aspect, I just kept trying. And fortunately enough, I ended up finding more writing work. And now, just last week, I had requested my day job, can I have even less hours? Because I need more time to write. I only have so much time in the day, you know? And it's this determination, the patience and the willingness to accept failure that I think is the only reason I'm able to do the things I'm doing right now. The only reason I'm sitting right here talking to you guys in a podcast, because I would have never made a podcast. Like, if it wasn't for all of this, I would have never thought to. I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd say. I wouldn't have a platform to do it on. I'm able to do this because it's already part of, like, my journalistic platform. It's on my website. Like, I already have routed it through. The Humble Store thing is done through, like, my business information. Funding for the website comes from my writing money that I keep it separate. I do my taxes, all that jazz. I'm able to do a lot of this stuff here because of, more or less, because of everything this game is trying to tell you about, trying to get you to understand. And I think that is absolutely incredible. It needs to be understood by more people, in my opinion. Sorry if I got on this weird TED Talk style motivational rant, and I end up talking more about the concept of determination than the game itself, in a way. I mean, there's not that much to say about the game. It's a very simple game. And it's genius. So Bennett I don't think Bennett Foddy will ever actually hear this, particularly because I'm saying it at the very end of the episode. This would imply he listened to the whole thing. I don't care. He has made what may be the most artistically profound game I've ever had the chance to play, ever had the fortune to play, because I feel like I can understand all of the things he's trying to tell everyone with it. And it just speaks to me that hard, and I only hope it can speak to everyone else this hard. Which is why I suggest you play it. It's like $10, I think. Like, I know people don't really want to buy a game that they're not going to enjoy, but this is an experience. $10, you can get a burger and fries, like, at a sit-down place for $10. And that's a one-evening thing. If this hits somebody else the way it's hit me, it'll be worth more than just an evening of monetary commitment. This is something that'll stick with you for, like I've said, months. Because of the messages that it has just buried underneath the surface of this hidden gold of a game. And I love getting over it with Bennett Foddy. I think Bennett Foddy is a genius. I think he made Quap. I'll have to double check on that one. That's like where his claim to fame actually came from, was with Quap. No, that's it for Bennett Foddy getting over it and all that. Let me do my housekeeping, because I'm a good boy. This has been the Cozy Co-op, normally with Brandon and Justine. Just Brandon here today. If you liked this episode, or perhaps a different episode, the one that's less of me talking about how motivated I am, you can leave us a review on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Doing that, actually, it rises us up on the charts, and that helps more people find us. It helps us get a better viewership. More viewership means I can just feel good about myself when I watch my stats go up, honestly. Let's be real. But I want to rise up on that gaming podcast chart, you know what I mean? I want to get up there. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Cozy Co-op Podcast. I post there quite often. Obviously, I have it automated to where it'll tweet out the moment the podcast goes live on the website. But I'll also post there myself. Sometimes it's like sometimes it's meaningful posts. Sometimes it's just me doing stupid internet things. But give us a follow anyway. We're on Facebook under the same name. You can also contact us directly at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. That's our email for the show. Email us, like, what games do you want to hear us play? Tell me about a personal experience. I don't know. We like to say what game we're playing next, so you can tell me a cool fact about that game, and we can bring it up on the show, whatever you want. Business casuals emails is the way to format do that one, yeah. TheLizardRock.com is where we get our news. That's my personal website I was talking about earlier. I post news there Monday through Friday, normally in the morning, sometimes more midday. But I make one solid post that's a conglomeration of the news of the last 24 hours. That's where I pick out the news for the show from, is from that website. Go check it out. It's where we host the show and everything. And that is it. Next week, probably Jade Empire. I've said that twice now. Well, I guess this is the third time now. It'll happen. We'll get there. It's a Justine episode, really, because I've not played it. And obviously I need her to be here for that. So, Jade Empire next, I hope, presumably, probably. That's it for today. Cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Co-op outro music.